are going to take the things that the Lord shows us and ministers to us. Last week we talked about the creation in Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:2, and we talked about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we saw some translations where it says that the earth was in chaos. And we talked about how that this is the possibility that the reason that the earth was in that chaos is that is the time of Lucifer's fall. Lucifer had fallen by the time that man was in the garden, and he had already fallen. And many Bible scholars think that it happened sometime, and we don't have a timeline. That's one thing that we don't know if it, you know, there's different theories and ideals about the age of the earth. Some people think it's billions and trillions and quadzillion. Some people think that the earth is just a few thousand years old. And really, honestly, we don't know. And the Bible really doesn't set a timeline. It just gives us the events here. But evidently, from the time that Earth was created, there was something that happened, and many Bible scholars think that it was Lucifer's fall to cause the Earth to be in a chaotic form. And we do know, because it says that darkness was on the face of the deep, and there was water everywhere. The Earth was covered in water. It was completely covered in water and covered in darkness. Now, I did that. I went through that to talk to you and show you something about God. One of the things that we see about God is we start seeing His heart from the very beginning, what He's like, what God is. He has always been like this, and He will always be like this, and He always works this way. And we're going to see a pattern that begins in Genesis that goes all the way, the way that He dealt with creation, symbolic of the way that He deals with man. And we need, this is something that we need to understand about God, is that He is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And God works on our behalf. And if He works on our behalf, then He's not working against us. You know, a lot of times we get this idea that God is this mean judge. He's up here and he's holding the balance, and He's got Nancy, and on this side, she's a little bit bad today. Pox upon you. You know, she was good this day. Pox not upon you. I mean, that God is just up there looking for an excuse to judge us. And that's not it at all. You can be judged by God. You can fall into judgment if you choose to. But that's not God's heart. And there's a day coming that judgment will come to the earth, and it will not be pleasant, it will not be good, and you don't want to be here when that happens. You don't want to be the object of His judgment, because there will be no escaping His judgment. There is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. Heaven is good, hell is bad. I mean, there's no getting around that. You know, this, is there really hell? Yeah, there's a real hell. It's literal, and you don't want to go there, because it is the object. People there will be the object of God's wrath, but you don't want to go there, and God don't want to send you. I heard something that somebody said one time that really set me free. See, there's two kinds of people in the earth. There's the people who will bow their knee and say, "Lord, Thy will be done." Or at the end of life, God will say to the other kind of people, "Thy will be done." So, in other words, if we'll bow our hearts and say, "God, Thy will be done," guess what? We'll be with Him. But if we refuse and refuse and resist, in the end, God will say, "Thy will be done." And He'll just carry out what we've chosen. And so, really, God doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. And we do that because we reject all of the things that God has set in order to take us to heaven. You have to work hard to go to hell. You have to walk over the grace of God. You have to walk over the love of God. You have to be totally ignorant to go to hell. Now, I know there's people who haven't heard, and that's a different subject. But I mean, we who have heard and resist and resist and resist, it is not easy to go to hell. I mean, because the God does not want you to go there. But if you choose to resist the grace of God, you will go there, and it will not be good. Okay? So there is that side of God. He will judge sin. He will not overlook sin. He will not put up with sin. He will judge it. But that's not His intent. His intent is redemption. And we see that in this very first two verses of Genesis, where the Bible says in Isaiah that the earth was not created void or vain. But we find out that it's in a place of vanity. It's void. It's without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That kind of describes the place that we were at one time in our lives. And this is the parallel that we're going to begin to make and see how God works in our lives as well as He did in creation. Okay? So now with that in mind, let's move on to the last part of verse 2. And it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, in the first verse, we say, "In the beginning, Elohim." In the beginning, God. That's Elohim. And that is the word, that's the plural name of God, where many Bible scholars think that that's where we get the first idea that we have God the Father, God the Word, and God the Spirit. Or God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. That we see the first inkling of the Trinity. And let me show you that in this thing that happens, that we see the Trinity at work. It says, "In the beginning, God." He conceived it. He planned it. We could go to Scripture where it talks about how he measured things, you know, in His hand. It was His heart. And then the next thing that we see is the Spirit of God. So we see basically the Father in one aspect of it. He is the planner. The Spirit is the one who is the power. Is the Spirit still the power of God? Yeah, still the Holy Spirit is still the power of God. That's why a while ago when we sensed what was happening, that the Holy Spirit wanted to do something, we step aside and say, "Okay, folks, let's go this way." And when we do, guess what? Holy Spirit shows up. He does His power work. That's the way He works. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He was hovering over the darkness. He was hovering over this earth that was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Do we see the symbolism here, that we see a place that's doesn't have form? It's void or vain. It's non-productive. Could you plant any seed on this and anything grow? Why couldn't you? See, the earth was not in a position to receive the seed. And that's where we're headed with this, because in a day or two here, in the third day, we're going to see that the earth comes into a position to receive the thing that it was designed to produce. That the ground is comes into a position that it can receive seed and begin to produce. And we see a picture here this is kind of like our lives without Christ and outside of God, that we were in darkness. We had no form to our life. There was no rhyme or reason to the way that we do things. And our life was vain, non-productive. And guess what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Our spirits were in darkness. We were not capable of producing anything that we were designed to produce. Why? Because our life was chaotic. It was away from God. But notice what it says here. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." I think the ideal in the Hebrew is that He was brooding. The Holy Spirit was brooding, almost like a, you know, like flapping his wings or something, like a chicken broods over something that's fixing to happen. So he was in this position, and the Holy Spirit was waiting for something to take place. The Holy Spirit was waiting for something to take place. Then God, he did what? He said. Now, flip over. Just hold your place right there. And flip over to John, the book of John, chapter 1. Let's see something here. I didn't write this down. It just come to me. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Does that correspond to verse 3? And God said, okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So do we see, and then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Who is the Word? Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. So in this, and God said, He said what? Words. What was that word that He said? It was the essence of Jesus. Now notice some things that take place here. The Spirit of God is waiting on something. Something has been conceived in the heart of God. Did God not anticipate what was going to happen? He already had the plan. He already knew what He was going to do. He was the designer of the thing. God knew that He could give free will to man and still accomplish His purpose. His plan did not come together after man had sinned. His plan was already in place before man was ever created. God was able to fathom and to span the whole of creation before He ever originally created the earth. God, there's nothing that's ever occurred to God. He didn't have a thought. He planned it, okay? He decided to give us the power to choose, knowing what that would happen, and He had the plan to overcome it. So, I mean, this is the awesomeness I want you to see about your Father God, is before we ever messed up, He knew we were going to mess up. Why He ever created us, I don't know. I don't understand why He puts up with us. I don't understand why He's long-suffering. I don't understand that, but I'm glad that He did and that He is. Okay? So, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice the first thing that comes into being is what? Light. Light. In fact, Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of His Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When His Word comes in, what comes in? Light. When He spoke the Word in the garden, in the darkness, what took place? What's the first thing that happened? Light. When God deals with us, what is the first thing that takes place? It's light. It's understanding. The entrance of His Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. In that same chapter of Psalms 119, 105, it says, your Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So it talks about the very nature of the Word. The very essence of the Word is light and life and love. It's understanding. So when the Word comes in, it brings light. When we walk in the Word, it's a light under our path and a lamp unto our feet. It guides us. So the very first thing that happens when God first began to deal with us, what's the first thing that He brings to us? It's light. Now, notice the two things that's involved. in God's dealing in the earth, in the reconstruction of the earth, and also in the very heart of man when he begins to deal with him. It's the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. It's the Spirit and the Word. Those are the two main things that you'll deal with in your life as a Christian. That's how God will deal with you. He'll deal with you by the Spirit. You didn't find God. God found you. You didn't just one day decide to become a Christian. God's Spirit sought you out. You were drawn by the Father by a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that is waiting there, that is hovering, that broods over a person's life and begins to woo them and draw them and try to, even in their lost condition, even when we're in our worst sin, the Holy Spirit is there to deal with us. Have you ever known of believers that have gotten off track? We call it backsliding. What happens? Does the Holy Spirit just go away and leave you? No, the Holy Spirit will bug the stew out of you. The Holy Spirit is the one that's there. Come back. Come back. He's brooding. Come back. Come back. Always know this, that Christians, once a person knows Christ, he can never be happy being away from Christ. It's an impossibility because the Holy Spirit will never leave him. Remember what David said? Where can I go to get away from your presence? If I go this way, I run into you. If I go this way, I run in. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the lowest hell, behold, you're there. I can't get away from you. Now, that's a good thing. But you sure cannot enjoy sin as a Christian. You cannot enjoy the lifestyle of sin as a Christian because the Holy Spirit is always there. He's dealing, he's hovering, he's brooding, he's dealing, he's drawing, he's, can we use the word convicting? Okay? Now, is he condemning? Nope. Condemn means to pass a sentence of judgment on. That's not what he's there for. He's there to draw you back into the very thing that you were designed to do. And the way that the earth was created and what it became, there had to be a work of the Spirit and the Word to bring it back to the place that it could do what it was designed to do. See, the earth was created for man. The earth was created for man. It was created as our habitation. Could man live on it in verse 2? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Why? Because we can't tread water that long. We can't plant crops. We can't live. We can't survive in that environment because it is not, it's not in the place that it needs to be to sustain the purpose that it's designed to do. And this is the way it is with a lot of people that are away from God. And this is one reason that they cannot produce what they're supposed to, because their life is in chaos. They are incapable of producing the thing that they have been designed to do, thanks to Adam and Eve, thanks to our own stupid choices, thanks to the own dumb things that we do that messes our life and gets it in chaos, and we are incapable of producing the thing that we need to do. That's one of the reasons that we as Christians don't need to condemn sinners. That's why we as Christians don't need to tell people to quit sinning. They can't help it. They are incapable of producing righteousness. They are incapable of producing what they're designed to do. Why? Because they're separated from God. They're in darkness. They cannot. Their heart is not in a place that it can receive the seed to produce the harvest. That cannot happen until that ground is exposed to the light. What's God doing? He's getting the ground in the place where it can receive the light so that it can receive the seed, so that it can produce the thing that it's designed to do, so that it can sustain the life and fulfill the purpose that it's called to do. See, the same thing has to happen with us too. We have to be in the place to receive the seed so that we can produce the harvest that we're designed to do. Wow. That's good stuff, isn't it? And it's 8 o'clock. This is why it is so necessary that we walk in the light. This is why it's so necessary that we as Christians walk in what we know to walk in. Because you can get separated. You can get drawn into darkness. And you will, let me tell you, when you get drawn into darkness, you become non-producing. Your life gets all chaotic. It gets out of shape. Even as Christians, we kind of get estranged from God, and we don't produce like we should. That's why when people backslide, they don't act right. They get mad. They accuse people of stuff. They run. They don't run to God. They run from God. What we need to do is run to the light. We need to run to the light. We need to run to God. We need to run to that, because that's the only place that we're going to find the restoration that we need in our lives. Now, this is... Let me read verse 4, then we got to close. And God saw the light, and that it was good. Everybody say it was good. In fact, everything that God created, He invented it, but He created it. Everything that He created, He said it was good. It was good. Everything that He has designed, it's good. Now, we have taken a lot of that and we have misused it and made it not good, but He designed it to be good. And God, now look at the end of verse 4, and this is where we're going to quit. God saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. What is it that God wants to do in our life? He wants to divide the light from the darkness. When the light comes in, what's stronger, light or darkness? Light. The Bible talks about talking about Jesus, that the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It could not overpower it. It could not overcome it, because light is always stronger than darkness. Light is good, and God divided the light from the darkness. We are to be people of the light, not people of the darkness. We're to be people of the day and not of the darkness. Okay, we'll start right there next week, maybe, if the Holy Spirit don't interrupt us again. Let's pray, and let's... What? Well, say it.
No, I'll just stand back here.
Okay.
I lost a good friend Saturday. He died with a heart attack. And his family told me today, I was over there with them, and they told me that Tommy told them, I don't have much use for church building. He's seen so many hypocrites. But they told me that he thought the world of me. And I never really ministered to him that much. He knew I went to church every time we get to go to church. And I hope that I can set an example of his life. And I hope he talked to the good Lord before he passed away. I really don't know the situation. But I just wanted to say that this went along with this message tonight. And that's really a shocking thing to me. That they said that when they talked about his preacher, their preacher, they wouldn't say brother so-and-so. He'd call them by name. He just didn't have a use for them. But I just hope that something happened there. I hope that I'm a good example. I want to be right. I want to do all I can. I want to be able to listen to what God has me to do.
Amen. All right. Let's pray and thank God for what He's done tonight. Father, thank You so much for Your presence, that You showed up. And Lord God, You're just welcome anytime. Amen. to interrupt our service any way that you want to, because we want to be directed by you. And thank you for all that you've done tonight. Thank you for your word. We pray you bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.